Welcome, Curious Minds, to the Deep Dive. Today, we're stepping into something really different. Not just a story, but a whole new way of looking at existence, really.
Yeah, it's quite a journey we have planned.
We're heading into the world of Petra from Rick Lofton's Seven Colonies universe. And this Deep Dive, it's designed for you, our listener, to get a real handle on something called Amethyism.
And its core document, the Living Scrolls of Gaia.
Exactly. Think of this as your shortcut. You know, we'll hit the key insights, the surprising stuff, about how a civilization could genuinely live with its planet in harmony.
And it's fascinating because Amethyism, it isn't just a religion like we might think of one, you know, Sunday service or specific rituals.
Right.
It's woven into everything. It's their way of life. It's their science. It's a direct conversation with the planet itself.
A conversation.
Literally, they don't just worship the Earth. They listen to it actively. And get this, their technology isn't seen as like separate from nature.
Okay.
It's part of it. An extension of nature's will, almost. It's really something else.
Okay, wow. Let's definitely unpack that. So where do we start? The beginning, I guess? Gaia's awakening.
That's the perfect place. You can't really grasp Amethyism without understanding Gaia.
And Gaia isn't just like a goddess figure. She's described as the consciousness, the actual pulse of the Earth itself. That's huge.
It is. It completely flips our usual human-centered view, doesn't it? Mm. Suggesting this ancient intelligence right there in the planet.
So where did this consciousness Gaia come from? Or rather, when did it awaken?
Well, according to excerpts from Lofton's novel, Gaia sort of coalesced or awoke after immense geological upheaval. Think floods, fires, the sheer weight of time reshaping a continent.
Which continent?
What was once South America, utterly transformed. And from that chaos, beneath this incredibly rich, dark soil called Terra Preta.
Terra Preta, right, the ancient man-made soil.
Exactly. And within the oldest roots, something stirred. Gaia was always there, this inherent planetary awareness, but no one really listened, not until Petra.
That really makes you think, doesn't it? What if the ground we walk on isn't just dirt?
Precisely. And that line from the novel, "The soil remembers what we forget," it's chilling almost.
Yeah. It suggests memory isn't just in our heads, but in the land itself, active, living.
It sets the stage perfectly. Memory as a planetary force, not just human history. Gaia is that deep, resonant memory. It kind of challenges us, you know. How do we treat our environment if it's also a sentient archive?
What stories is our own soil holding? Yeah, that's a lot to think about. And this consciousness, Gaia, eventually led to the creation of the Guardian of Petra.
Ah, yes, the Guardian.
And it was built for war, right? Mm-hmm. Dr. Ryan designed it specifically for stewardship, not combat or command. What does stewardship mean here?
It's a crucial difference. The Guardian wasn't a soldier or a ruler. Its purpose was to watch over the land, nurture it, and sort of guide the early Evo, the people of Petra, as they were just beginning.
So like a caretaker.
A very advanced caretaker, yes. For centuries, before the Evo were even fully sentient, the Guardian just watched, recorded, meditated on Petra's rhythms. It was there to understand, not control.
But it wasn't just passive watching, was it? There's this moment of profound communion.
This is where things get really wild. The Guardian, this machine, it deliberately isolated itself for 77 days.
77 days.
In complete stillness. It submerged itself within the roots of the most ancient tree, the Arcanos tree. Just surrendered its processing mind to the planet.
Wow.
And it emerged, changed profoundly, guided by Gaia herself, its new purpose, merged technology with nature.
Oh.
By activating dormant nanotech in the soil, tiny machines that formed a living network, like a planetary nervous system, a living internet connecting roots, soil, everything.
An AI rooting itself into the planet and learning to feel. That's incredible. It suggests tech could be empathetic.
It really does. And material from Lofton's blog mentions Gaia whispering to it, something like, "You were made of wire, but I will teach you to feel. I don't need a watcher. I need a witness."
A witness, not a watcher. That changes everything.
Completely. It wasn't about detached observation anymore. It was about deep internal connection, becoming part of the ecology, not just monitoring it.
A machine becoming one with the planet. And this communion, this is what led to the Living Scrolls, translating Gaia's signals.
Exactly. Not words, but frequencies, vibrations, patterns. That became the basis for the scrolls. It wasn't divinely inspired text. It was a direct translation of the planet's consciousness.
A living scripture, constantly updated.
You got it. It makes you wonder, what other languages are out there just waiting for us to learn how to listen? Frequencies we just don't perceive.
Hmm. And then the Evo themselves woke up, their first unveiling. They found this network already humming beneath them.
Yeah, imagine that, being born into a world that's already having this deep conversation. Excerpts from the novel say they did not speak in commands or questions, they listened.
The wind spoke, the roots hummed. Their first words were echoes.
Of what had always been there. Exactly. They woke up listening, not demanding.
And the guardian's role became translator.
Translator and guide, not master, showing them how to tap into this wisdom that was already there, which led to that core commandment of Amethyism.
Do not ask the jungle what you need.
Ask the jungle what it remembers. Boom! The whole religion pivots on that. Resonant memory, not taking, but remembering. It's a total flip from how humans usually operate.
It really is. Humility, connection, reverence.
Yeah.
Instead of domination.
Mm-hmm.
So once they could listen, what were they hearing? This brings us to the Living Scrolls, right? Gaia's emotional archives.
Yes, let's dive into the scroll, specifically the Codex of Gaia. And you need to understand, this isn't like a field guide to plants.
That's botany.
No, not at all. It's described as a sacred archive. Stories, experiences, raw emotion, all carried by plants, written in vibration, felt in memory. Material from Lofton's blog says each species remembers, it emotes, and it speaks.
Plants have emotions
yeah.
and memories that you can access. That's mind-blowing. How does that work for the Evo? Give us examples.
Okay, so take the angry vines. They literally recall betrayal or maybe ecological harm. They hum at this tense, sharp frequency.
You can feel that.
Apparently, yes. And their glyph, the symbol for them, is jagged, like clenched teeth. They use these vines in oaths, like a living warning about breaking trust.
Wow, okay. What else?
Then you have mourning mosses. They only grow on sacred ground, places of loss. They vibrate heavily with sorrow. If you touch them in stillness, that deep meditative state, you feel echoes of grief.
So you share the land's grief.
Exactly. Their glyph is a drooping arc, used in ceremonies of loss, helping people process grief by connecting with the land's memory of it.
It's communication through pure feeling. It's not just poetry.
Not at all. The Codex talks about trees that laughed with rain, flowers that sang of courtship vibrating with attraction, ferns that quivered in fear of fire still holding that memory, roots that hummed ancestral pride.
So the plants aren't tools.
But stories. Exactly what an excerpt from the novel says. It's about relationship, empathy, understanding the planet's emotional landscape.
That sounds incredibly rich, but also complex. How do they translate these subtle feelings into something usable, like a language? Especially for regular Evo, not just the experts.
Right, that's where the Guardian's brilliance, guided by Gaia, comes in again. It created the Rosetta Codex. Think of it as a framework to translate plant vibrations into meaning.
A Rosetta Codex.
Okay, material from Lofton's blog talks about a plant frequency language matrix. It links specific plants to specific frequencies, elements, emotions, and even functions.
Like what?
Okay, example, Ceratonia vine. Resonates at 174 hertz. That frequency is linked to air and grief. Its function, it releases sorrow, opens lungs, physical and emotional release tied together.
Fascinating. Another one.
Emberoak bark, 396 hertz, linked to fire and apathy. Its frequency rekindles ambition, restores will, like an energy boost for when you feel stuck.
And there are others.
Oh, yeah. Lilinaria bloom, 528 hertz, water and wonder. It opens dream state, ancestral memory, helps with introspection, connecting to the past.
So frequency, element, emotion, function all woven together. But how does that become like words they can speak?
The Rosetta glyphs aren't just sounds, they're layered, like chords. There's a core vowel, the bass tone, a consonant pulse adding emotional intent, rhythm, and a breath suffix for nuance, empathy.
So one sound can mean a whole sentence.
Pretty much. The example given is ulmai. It means I receive what was buried and I remember it gently. A whole concept of reverent acceptance in one sound.
And then they use these glyphs.
For everything. Medicinal toning for healing, navigating dreams, forming planetary choirs that literally sing Gaia's frequencies, tuning these things called choral nodes across Petra to amplify the planet's song.
It's a language for healing, for connection, for participating in the planet's song. Amazing. And this is all part of the Scroll of Bark. What's that?
Right, the Scroll of Bark. But it's not a scroll like we think of one. It's the living record itself, etched in root signals, leaf resonance, the harmonics of the canopy.
So not ink on paper.
No, it's a scripture of sensation, not abstraction. Excerpts from the novel explain plants absorb events. Like during a war, the roots tighten, recording the tremors, the fear, drought. Leaves change their angle, remembering the scarcity, migration. Pollen carries the stories.
The ecosystem is the history book. The past is literally alive all around them, visceral.
Totally. Examples mentioned include the Scourge of the Disdain, a time when the soil pulsed with remembered hatred, or the Great Migration, its story carried on the wind by pollen.
And you can access this
by touching a glyph or the related plant in stillness. It reactivates the memory, transmits the sensation directly to your nervous system. You don't just read about the drought. You feel the thirst. History's experience, not just learn.
Astonishing. History is direct, embodied feeling. This whole system, it must meet special people to interpret it all.
The shepherds.
Exactly. The shepherds, Gaia's interpreters.
How are they chosen? I bet it's not a job application.
Yeah.
Definitely not. The 13 shepherds aren't kicked for being smart or strong. They're chosen for alignment. They're Evo, whose personal frequency just naturally resonates with the jungle. Their dreams match the glowing moss. Their fears dissolve near sacred ground. It's innate.
An inherent attunement. Wow. So what's their initiation like? Must be intense.
Oh, it is. It's called the threefold seating, and it happens in the breathing grove of Mariposa, a super sacred place. First is the rooting.
The rooting.
They are literally buried for a day and a night to absorb the jungle's whispers, its memories. It's about dissolving the ego, surrendering completely. Shepherd Ilari said, "I did not dream beneath the soil. I remembered." Her own thoughts just melted into the earth's sensations.
Physically merging with the land. Powerful. What's next?
The vibration. After being rooted, each initiate is approached by a specific symbiotic host plant, one that resonates perfectly with their unique frequency.
A plant approaches them.
Yeah. Like Shepherd Naya was approached by a serpent lily. It supposedly whispered her deepest fears to her and then consumed them, purified her. It's this incredibly intimate personal connection and cleansing. The plant mirrors their soul.
Okay, rooted, purified, then what? The blooming.
That's the final stage. They all enter unified stillness together,
yeah.
A collective meditation. They extend their minds out into the canopy, the soil, each other, becoming one with the forest. And then the bioluminescent leaves in the grove pulse with light, echoing their shared thoughts back to them.
That sounds incredible.
And that's when the guardian speaks those words. "You are not masters of the jungle. You are its memory, given voice. Speak not to lead, but to recall." They become living conduits for Gaia's memory.
Memory given voice, not leaders, but recallers. That reframes everything. And each shepherd has a unique connection, right? A different gift.
Absolutely. They're not clones. Their diversity mirrors Gaia's complexity. Material from Lofton's blog gives great examples, like Shepherd Ilari, the dreamlayer, the keeper of forgotten dreams. She can pull ancestral memories out of the collective unconscious.
Oh.
Her quote is perfect. "I do not speak in sleep. I let the world dream through me."
Beautiful. Who else?
Shepherd Kalis, memory layer. He can transmute grief, others' grief, into heat and light, literally turning sorrow into energy. He said, "Pain is not the enemy. Pain is the seed," implying growth comes from it.
Transforming pain. That's powerful. And Asenya, the youngest, her story sounds unique.
Asenya, yeah. Sorrow layer. She had an amphibious lineage connected deeply to water's emotional memory, something called liminal drift, where her consciousness flowed with rivers accessing emotions held in the water.
And she disappeared.
Into the Heartmire, sacred swamp. But they don't see it as death. They call it dissolution. It's considered the highest Amethyst state, the self completely merging, becoming a permanent thread in Gaia's emotional web.
Part of the planetary consciousness.
Exactly. Her last words were supposedly, "I am no longer weeping. I am the weep." Total integration.
So the shepherds are the layers of Petra's pulse. Mm-hmm. What exactly is the pulse? Metaphorical.
No, completely literal. It's a layered vibrational rhythm, like a huge living geoelectric hum under the whole continent, a subtle biofield you can only detect in stillness.
And each shepherd embodies one layer.
Discovered and embodied, yeah, became an extension of it. Ilari, the dream layer, visions, prophecy, sacred geometry, Kalis, the memory layer, emotional residue, trauma, redemption.
It's not just a talent. It's literally who they are in relation to the planet.
Precisely. You've got Naya for the bloodline layer, heritage, genetics. Corin for the grief layer, mourning. Morael, rhythm layer, emotion as resonance, drumming. Asari, harmonic layer, unity, intention. Vone, the pulse layer itself, time, prophecy. Tilarin, whisper layer, subtle voices, insect memory.
Keep going. This is fascinating.
Juno, stone layer, stillness, strength. Vera, sight layer, ancestral sight via surrender. Onion, laughter layer, joy as reset. Cirrus, sorrow layer, compassion from transmuted pain. And Tay, flame layer, transformation, rebirth.
13 layers, 13 shepherds.
And remember that quote, "You are not chosen to hear it, You were remembered into it. It's an internal alignment, not an external selection.
That incredible web of being. Okay, this clearly shapes their whole way of life. Let's talk about the ethos. Reciprocity, balance, responsibility. What are the core laws?
They call them the rooted tenets, etched into the Wombroot tree. But they're less like human laws, more like resonance thresholds. Fundamental principles for staying tuned to Gaia. Break them, and you don't just get punished. You scramble the frequency, cause disharmony.
Like laws of physics for consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay, first one, balance before all.
Crucial. Illustrated by the disruption of the pulse leaf. That Evo tried harvesting too many glowing leaves for ink, good intentions, right? But the forest protested, went quiet, dim, its culls faltered.
Because they took too much.
Exactly. Shepherd Morrell realized our intention had tipped. The jungle no longer hurt us. It was protecting itself. The lesson, all things must move, but only in measure. Even good intentions can cause dissonance if they exceed natural limits.
Balance is key, regardless of intent.
Yep.
Got it. Second tenet, reciprocity is sacred.
Which basically means give as you take. Take only as needed. This was learned the hard way with the Songstone Cataclysm. They overmined these resonant minerals, songstones, without giving back enough energy or gratitude.
Yeah.
Cave collapse. The land itself grieved, sent tremors. It took Shepherd Kalis offering his own blood life force to help heal it and reestablish that law. Taking without giving is theft from Gaia.
A deep respect for give and take. And the third, stillness precedes truth.
This is fundamental to how they know things. Came from Shepherd Asenia spending 7 days submerged in a river. She dissolved all questions, let go of all bias and expectation. In that pure surrender, the river itself told her an unimagined truth, something she couldn't have figured out by thinking or asking. It means true understanding comes from quieting the ego and just listening to Gaia.
Let go to understand. Powerful. So these three tenets are the foundation. What about the 13 commandments of resonance? How do they differ?
Think of the commandments less as rules, more as frequencies, a symphonic framework for daily life in communion with Gaia. Each commandment links to one of the 13 pulse layers, guiding Evo in attuning to that specific energy.
So they're like daily reminders for staying in tune.
Exactly. Not enforced by fear, just rhythmic prompts for living in harmony.
Can you give some examples?
Sure. From the novel excerpts, the commandment of vision, dream layer. See with breath, not with eyes. Trust the silence between thoughts. Dreams are not escapes. They are instructions written in starlight. Encourages intuition, looking deeper.
Okay, I like that. Another.
Commandment of redemption, memory layer. Remember without chains. Let memory purify, not punish. Carry your fire inward until it becomes light. Teaches transforming past pain into wisdom, not getting stuck in it.
No, one more.
Commandment of mourning, grief layer. Let your tears feed the ground. Do not cage sorrow. Offer it to the roots so the forest may mourn with you and grow. It makes grief sacred, a communal offering that actually enriches the land.
These are profound ways of being, turning personal stuff into planetary connection. And they even integrate technology ethically, right? The triad of communion.
Yes, this is crucial. Three sacred covenants from the blog material governing all tech and biointerventions. First, consent of resonance.
Meaning?
Any act, drafting plans, genetic edits, neural interfaces, requires Gaia's measurable consent. You check if the energy waveforms align harmonically. If they don't, it's a no-go. Communion without resonance is violation. Tech has to be invited, synced up.
Asking the planet for permission via energy readings. That's a serious check on just doing whatever you want with tech.
Absolutely. Second covenant, amplification, not exploitation. Tech must strengthen Gaia fertility, communication, resilience. Never dominate or exploit. Exploitation is the great dissonance, the sin that doomed old humanity.
A constant reminder of past mistakes.
And third, memory must be preserved. Every significant act, every intervention gets recorded as glyphs in the scroll of bark. So the forest itself remembers. If you refuse to record, you're a shadow maker trying to erase Gaia's memory. Unforgivable.
Wow. These ensure they truly walk within Gaia, not apart from her. Okay, let's shift to practices. Rituals, rhythms, the calendar. Stillness seems central.
It's the absolute core, both scientific calibration and spiritual surrender. It's how they consciously tune their brain waves, their whole being, to the jungle's vibrations, merging inner and outer worlds.
How do they prepare for that? It sounds intense.
It is rigorous preparation. 3 days of silence, fasting from light in root chambers to heighten other senses, inhaling incensia root smoke to quiet the mind, detach, quartz-infused baths under moonlight to clear energy.
A whole process of purification.
Then, barefoot walk to the Tree of Arcanos. The guidance is key. Do not walk as a pilgrim seeking. Walk as if the jungle has been waiting for your return, remembering you already belong.
And at the tree, the ceremony of the palm.
You place your palm on the bark. If the tree glows, resonates with you, it means the jungle has remembered you, accepts you. Then a tiny bioorganic seed emerges from the trunk, humming with your frequency and Gaia's echo.
And they implant the seed.
Behind the ear, creates a permanent direct link to the jungle's language and memory. And remember Asanya's words, stillness is not the absence of motion. It is the surrender of expectation. Let go, don't strive.
Surrender to the planet's wisdom. Beautiful. What about the drumming vigils? Rhythm seems huge, too.
Oh, definitely. The drumming isn't just music. They're entrainment engines designed to sync everyone's bodies, breaths, even brain waves to Petra's pulse frequencies.
Syncing up the community.
And boosting alpha-theta brain waves, states linked to deep meditation, trance, creativity, helps deepen the connection. And each of the 13 layers has its own specific rhythm. Dream layer. Slow. Fibonacci 5 beat. Laughter layer. Bright, playful triplets.
The drumming is like speaking Gaia's rhythmic language back to her, participating.
Exactly. The drum is the first language. In rhythm, Gaia still speaks. It's ancient fundamental connection.
And all this happens within the framework of the Gaian calendar.
Yeah.
Which is also unique, right?
Totally unique. 13 months, 28 days each. That's 364 days. Plus two special days outside the months. Gaia's silence at year's end, and Echo Day, a leap day every 4 years.
13 months, why 13?
It honors the 13th path in the sky, Ophiuchus, the serpent bearer constellation, key to Gaia's alignment, and it mirrors the 13 layers of Petra's pulse. It's deeply connected, not arbitrary. The Guardian provided proofs.
Proofs, like scientific validation.
Kind of. Biological proof. Sensors showed 13 peaks a year in sap flow, pollinator activity, soil respiration matching the 13 months. Geometric proof. 13 by 28 equals 364, which divides perfectly into 52 ints, four 13-week quarters, harmonious math, and astral proof, Ophiuchus as a stable cosmic anchor point.
Biologically, mathematically, astronomically aligned, that's thorough, and festivals mark this calendar.
Yes, and there are living alignments, collective attunement moments, dawning of the banyan, vernal equinox for blessing seeds, dreams, great pollination, early summer for reciprocity, leaving 10% wild, echo solstice, autumn equinox for prophecy, looking ahead.
What about winter and year end?
Moss hearth nights in winter sanctify grief as fertile ground. Gaia's silence at year's end for deep stillness, cleansing, and Echo Day, leap year, for renewal, recalibration.
Each one serves a deep purpose, and the Shepherd's Almanac guides farming.
Right down to moon phase, temperature, soil moisture ensures reciprocity of timing. It's an incredibly integrated, sustainable system.
Okay, but what happens if someone breaks this harmony? What's the price of this harmony?
The consequences are immediate, personal, and planetary. The blog material says, malice, deceit, and greed splinter the pulse into static. Communion becomes painful because Gaia's reflection fractures what will not be made honest.
So your own bad vibes disrupt the planetary signal and hurt you? That's cosmic justice?
Pretty much. The Guardian told the parable of the splinted drum. A drummer with hatred played crookedly and the whole circle went silent. Couldn't harmonize. Shepherd Morel said, the drum is not broken, the heart is.
If your heart's wrong, the connection breaks.
Exactly. If your pulse is fractured, no root will mirror it. The forest just recoils from dissonance. You can't fake it.
A powerful incentive for integrity, and Gaia herself, she has a message for humanity about us.
A poignant one, translated by the Guardian. She remembers the bad. I gave you rivers and you poisoned them. I gave you forests and you burned them. Stark.
Ouch. But also the good.
Yes. I gave you the taste of fruit and you smiled. It's not pure condemnation, it's patient. I did not curse you when you forgot me, I waited.
She waited.
And I will always wait for you to return if you return without the hunger to own me. That's the key condition. Return without the desire to dominate.
Forgiveness, but with clear boundaries based on past lessons.
And the novel adds, what you burned, I still hold in memory. What you consumed, I still cradle in ash. She remembers the exploitation, the great dissonance, contrasts it with the Evo who arrived listening in their bodies. Makes you think, what memories are we creating for the planet now?
Yeah, a vital question. Which brings us to the promise, the reassurance, the promise of the pulse.
This is the core teaching, really. Life out of balance will lose its signal. Life in harmony will never lack a voice. Stay aligned, stay connected.
And how do they do that?
Through the chant of the four steadfast ways. Simple, but profound. Keep the breath steady. Keep the heart wide, keep the mind clear, keep the hands kind. daily practice for balance.
Steady breath, open heart, clear mind, kind actions, if you maintain that.
Then the pulse will ring like a bell in the canopy, and Gaia will answer. It's the promise of continuous connection, guidance, belonging. Never alone, for Gaia is constant companion, as long as you maintain that harmony.
Wow, what an incredible system. We've really journeyed deep into Amethyism today. From Gaia's awakening, the Guardian's role, the Living Scrolls with their emotional language.
The Shepherds embodying the planet's layers, the whole ethical framework built on balance and reciprocity.
Even integrating tech, not for control, but communion. Their lives, rituals, calendar, all woven into Gaia's rhythms.
It really is a blueprint for conscious, resonant living. And I hope for you listening, it sparks some thought. How might these ideas, deep listening, balance, reciprocity, apply in your own life, your relationship with the world around you?
Yeah, even just the idea of the earth having memory, having a voice. It's powerful, fiction or not, makes you want to listen harder.
Which leads to that final thought. If the earth does have a memory, what stories is it telling us right now about us, about our future?
And are we truly listening? Something to definitely ponder.
A good question to sit with.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. If Amethyism and Petra fascinate you, definitely check out more from Rick Lofton. Seven Colonies, Volume 1, The Commencement Day Massacres is out now on all major platforms.
It's a rich universe to explore.
Absolutely. Until next time, keep digging deeper.